You're an ice cream cone. You're a lollipop. You're a baby chick. You're a pogo stick. You're a magic trick. You're a spinning top. You're special.
We are back with another Neighborhood Archive podcast, and something tells me this one is going to be an all-time favorite. Some might recognize my guest today as an accomplished Broadway performer. Others may know her from her involvement with the Pittsburgh Ballet or as a talented artist. My guess is that most of you listening, however, will remember her best as the neighborhood of make-believe's telephone operator, Miss Polificate. It is with great pleasure that I welcome Audrey Roth to the Neighborhood Archive.
Thank you, Tim.
Oh, absolutely. I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us.
My pleasure.
Well, I do definitely want to know about a lot of the different things that you've done outside of your involvement on the Neighborhood program. But, of course, one of the big things I'd like to know about as well is your time on the Neighborhood show. So maybe we could start with how you got to be involved with the program itself and how you got to meet Fred Rogers in the first place.
You know how I did meet him? With Shane Brockett and his wife, Don and Leslie Brockett. My daughter and I, or the whole family, we've been very good friends for years. And Don and Leslie all went to Nantucket for a few weeks in the summer, and they invited Adair and me to share their cottage, which was across the street from where Fred had his summer house called the Crooked House on Nantucket, which
right.
You probably know. And that's how I met him first, or that's how we met him. And the following fall, after I met Fred, I was doing the part of Mama Rose in Gypsy at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, and Fred came to see us. And the following summer, we were with them again. And that fall, he called and he said, I have two new characters on my show. And I said, really? And he said, mm-hmm. He said, they're both named Audrey. And I said, oh, did you hang puppets for me? How nice. And he said, no. And he said, I have scripts written, and they're both real people, and they're you. So I was very pleased. And he said, would you be interested? Well, you know, of course I was interested. So that's how it started, and I can't think, Tim, if it was 69 or 70. I'm pretty sure it was 70 when I started. And by then I became, the parts were Audrey Cleans Everything, ACE,
right.
They called it. And that was in the real neighborhood. And then in the neighborhood of make-believe, it was Miss Polificate. And a lot of those shows, Audrey Cleans Everything, disappeared after a time. It was kind of a shame, but there were some criticisms from women, if you can believe it. And somehow the part sort of was just phased out. Mm-hmm. And we had some wonderful shows with funny fans cleaning. You know, I cleaned the stadium. I cleaned a huge plane at the airport up on a, I can't remember what they're called. But at any rate, I dusted off the plane, and I had no idea planes were so tall. So you have to clean them. But at any rate, as I say, that part phased out, and then the Polificate just went on. And I was thinking, when we talked about doing this, I was thinking about the parts that I played in the operas, which was everything from, we did the Winter Opera, mm-hmm. which was just in a coat. But then Donna and I were swans, potato bug, I was a potato bug, I was a mama cat, I was a mama elephant for the Josephine the Short-Necked Giraffe and mm-hmm. opera. The operas were so much fun. And then there was a bubble seller in the one. And fish. There's hardly an animal that I can play. but it was always a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm sure somebody told you about every time we finished taping that always played. You know that he sat down at the piano, and that was our signal that everything was over for the day.
That was the end, huh?
That was the end.
No, I'd never heard that.
Well, didn't you? Craig was a wonderful pianist, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do remember a really special day, because I came into work, and Fred came poems. And I said, and what was that? He said, it's called It's You I Like. And it turned out to be my favorite, and I think the favorite of a lot of people. I'm sure you know the song.
Oh, absolutely.
We used to do that, too, on special occasions or for personal appearances. And I don't know if anybody's told you, too, that a number of us used to go traveling for the education for the Bureau of the Handicapped. We went to Maine, South Carolina.
And you went representing the show?
New York, yes. We went as the personalities that we had some really interesting experiences. You know, the Education for the Bureau of the Handicapped sent us to various places. And the one time we went into this one beautiful big place in the South, and there was a man, there was a stage, and the stage was maybe the highest stage I've ever seen him. It was maybe 12 feet off the floor. It looked like a big gymnasium. They had wooden chairs set up. And Don said, oh, let's work on the floor. You know, do our song. If you're happy and you know it, you know that wonderful one that everybody does.
Sure.
With children. And I said, oh, Don, why on the floor? It's so hard to see. He said, no, let's do that. Whereupon there's a man came in a wheelchair who grabbed me and pulled me into the chair. And I'm frantic, but thinking, oh, you know, and Don is pulling me, and one of the men from the home was pulling me. And I said to Don, when I finally got out, I said, Don, I don't know about you, but I'm working on the stage. So Don said, oh, I think so. So with that, we go up on the stage, and it turns out as people came in, it was all adults, Tim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They made a rather serious mistake in Washington. It didn't mean to send us in. They were passing out people on the staff, all the pictures that, you know, had been sent of all of us, you know.
Right.
It was only Don and me from the show, but we had pictures of Fred. And as we're on the stage singing away, the people we looked at, and they're tearing the pictures into pieces.
Oh, no.
So, you know, technically flattering, you know. Really easy on the ego.
Yeah.
But that was one of the errors that the education in Washington did make. Other than that, we did this in a lot of places with children that it was heart-wrenching, and yet it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really, they seemed to enjoy it, and it was good. It was a wonderful experience, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know what else you want to know, unless you want to know about my background.
Well, actually, I'm, you know, staying on a little bit on these topics. The, you know, I know you mentioned that you met Fred through Don Brockett. Now, how did you meet Don Brockett then?
Years ago, I was doing a show here for an organization, and there's another friend who was in the show, and Don was a friend of hers, and she invited him to come see the show, and that's how we met, and then became friends. And I don't remember them. And then Don and I did a show, aside from Mr. Rogers. We did a show together. We did, If I Were a Rich Man. Don even had a friend paint a picture of Fiddler on a Roof for me. For the Christmas present. But we did a mini version of that, a half-hour version, in the tri-state area. We had a wonderful time doing that because Don was so wonderful about stopping at any antique show or shop anywhere. And if we passed one on the road, he'd make a U-turn and we'd go back next. So some of my better purchases were with Don and Leslie on our way to do some show or on their way home from doing some show. But I started out and went to Carnegie Mellon Drama School. It was Carnegie Tech then. Carnegie Institute of Technology, which was called TIP. And I left after a year and a half because there was musical comedy. So in a letter, my voice and speech teacher sure whoever you've talked to, Betty is a remarkable talent, and I'm sure she's probably told you about the operas, which were maybe the most fun of all, I think.
It seems like the operas are a lot of the favorites of the people who watch the show as well. As a kid, I remember watching those, and then I remember, you know, as I've gotten into building this website, you know, it seems that the people that I've been in contact with, those are the ones that stand out most for those operas, that those were the favorites.
And they were such fun to make, Q-Tip. They really were. You know, we had rehearsal times for them, and it was just a joy.
Do you have a personal favorite that stands out?
Yeah, Bubble Land. I love that one. I thought Joe was wonderful in Bubble Land. John Reardon was so perfect as the news person. Mm-hmm. And Betty was wonderful. She's good in all of them, you know. And Potato Bugs was fun. They were all fun to do. Mm-hmm.
They were so detailed and so creative that I think it would be the kind of thing that would be hard not to have fun doing. This seems to be another favorite, because I've actually heard that from several different people. It seems to be that's a major story that stands out when they talk about Bob Trowe, is that one comment he made.
Oh, and that is just one of his many, many,
oh, I'm
many
sure. I'm sure.
Bob and I did some personal appearances out of town, too. We went to up to Washington and Wisconsin for their educational TV show. And he was really a delight to travel with and to be with, because he just had that really wonderful humor. And that's why he was such a popular radio personality, which he was for many years. He was just a genuinely nice person. You know, that's the other thing, Tim. The people on the show, I think Fred was kind of a genius in picking people. Because everybody got along well, everybody admired everybody else and respected the talents. And most of the people had sort of multiple talents. But it was always a pleasure. It was an absolute pleasure to be with everybody. And maybe that was Fred's genius, part of his genius.
Mm-hmm. Do you still keep in contact with anyone from the show?
Oh, yeah. Betty and I talk a lot. And saw Don up until the day he died. Mm-hmm. And Chuck I talked to Benedy occasionally. Not because we wouldn't enjoy it, it's just that Addison seemed to be crossing too often. Mm-hmm. I think Betty was probably the most important person in the show.
How so?
Well, obviously, you know she was, and she's also multiple talented. Mm-hmm. And so bright. I mean, she's really, genuinely, beautifully intelligent, and also kind of a joy to be with.
You know, that's...
sense of humor.
That's the interesting thing that I think of, and I think you and I talked about this earlier in the week on the phone, was that a lot of times people who watch the neighborhood program, they kind of cut off their perception of the people who were on the show as that was their entire being. And there was so much more to every person on that show. And the more I dig into this and talk with people like you and like with, you know, with Betty and other people involved with the show, you know, you just learn so much information and so much more about these people that you know, you kind of had pigeonholed into one specific character for so many years, and then it hits you like a ton of bricks that these are just extremely, extremely wonderful, talented, you know, just all around great, great people.
Mm-hmm. John had, was a wonderful producer of shows, Tim, and he wrote them. Mm-hmm. Wrote them, produced them, and I have to say, starred in them. But he did a show at the motel here, I say motel, which is, I mean, to denigrate the motel, but it's more than that. Mm-hmm. And they had wonderful shows, and Don did those. Every summer for a number of years, and they were really creative and funny and wonderful, and the songs were brilliant. And he produced a number of industrial shows too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew that, and used a lot of the talent, all talent from the city. And then there was one big show that he took to New York. It's a very funny story about that, but it was panned by the critics. Sad because it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what happened, don't know why. It was off Broadway, and we flew up for the opening and had a wonderful evening, but not so nice once the reviews came out. And it was sad for him. It was very sad. And Don's widow, I see frequently. She's remarried, but we're part of a lunch group. Along with Joni Negri, Joe's wife. And there's a real talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Oh, my. And such a nice person. You know, they're a wonderful couple. With a lovely, really lovely family. But Joe is one of the most modest people you'd ever meet. He's just dear, really dear.
Well, I do know that, like I mentioned to you earlier in the week when we spoke, that you were described by Betty as, of all of the neighbors, you were the most glamorous. So...
and not that many women, shall I say. However,
no,
it's lovely, if I could say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just
to hear your background, you know, and just, you know, just so much beyond and outside of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which was such a small part of the things that you've done and the things that you've accomplished, you know, all the way back to, you know, like you mentioned Best Foot Forward earlier, you know, and you know, all the way up until, you know, I from what I understand, you're a talented and accomplished artist as well, right?
I do love to paint. Mm-hmm. I have done it all my life, Jim, you know. And I'm still doing painting, and I sell, you know, things that I paint, but that's really the joy of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, since I'm not really working anymore and not doing shows anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have a wonderful, wonderful time doing. The ballet was wonderful. Civic Light Opera, I really enjoyed. That's a big thing here in Pittsburgh. The show's play for a week usually, sometimes 2 weeks, although it's rare, and a week rehearsal, and it's unbelievable what's accomplished in that week.
Mm-hmm.
But I played the mayor's wife in Eulalie McKechnie's Shin.
Yeah, in The Music Man.
In Music Man, uh-huh. And I did Mrs. Upson in Mame. Those parts were wonderful, and the Playhouse. Playhouse. I did a number of shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, and tried working the men because, you know, I'm sure with three children, I had three, and I tried really managing to be home always when they got home from school, which was one thing, and I didn't really do shows that took me out of the house at night until they were a little older. And yet when I was writing down things, I thought, oh, there's a lot went on. Of course, there were a lot of years too, Tim, you know, and it all went on.
Mm-hmm.
But we had, I have to tell you the other thing too about Mr. Rogers. It was sort of done, I won't say on a small budget,
mm-hmm.
but costuming, now, in later years, you know, it got better. But I know I dressed Betty when she did the Rich Lady Opera with a dress that I wore for my daughter's wedding.
I think a lot of people envy that ability.
But as I say, it was a wonderful experience. It was 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
I said to you, I can't remember if it was 69 or 70, but, and then we finished in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed the last day of taping because I had the flu. So, which always made me sad, you know, that I missed that. But, and then we lived always so close to Fred, and Fred always had the, I don't know if you heard about the taxi parties, but he had the taxi parties in Nantucket, and also here, like on Valentine's Day, he had a taxi party at their home, and, he came dressed as tacky as possible. The food was tacky. Which wasn't hard for Joanne Rogers, because she hates to cook.
Sure.
And Fred was famous for the tacky parties. Well, he wasn't famous for them because not that many people were invited. But they were a lot of fun. And they had the house in Nantucket that was, well, you know, I'm sure you've heard about the Crooked House.
Right, right.
And Fred and Joanne, not a wonder, fancy people. And I see Joanne, I see her in a couple of weeks. We have a lunch group. And Joanne is part of that. And along with Barbara Russell, who used to be Don Brockett's comedy partner.
Mm-hmm.
And Don and Barbara were a wonderful comedy team around the city.
And she's a part of this lunch group as well?
Yes, Barbara Russell is. Mm-hmm. 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 But we have a really good group. Yep.
Oh, it sounds like it. I know this is going to be a very broad question, a very just open-ended question, but if there is one thing, if you could describe what you took away from your experience with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, how would you describe how that has affected you and how that has made you the person that you are?
Oh, Jim. I don't know how to answer. You know what? I really don't know how to answer that. It gave me, it made me think a lot more, I think, about what most of us do naturally. It made me, as I say, most of us do it naturally, Jim. You know, we don't need a course in how to parent, although today I think a lot of people do somehow. But that's one thing, because Fred was so careful. I don't know if you've heard about wonderful psychologist that went over every program.
Oh, absolutely.
And every word, you know. And it was very difficult. There was no ad-libbing, which wasn't a problem. You know, you learned your script, and that was it. And you enjoyed learning your script. I don't know how to answer what. Mm-hmm. Well, it made me into a nationally known personality. Because wherever we went, you know, people, not today, Tim, because, you know, the show hasn't been on for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But that's nice to have that sort of validation and recognition.
Sure.
It's surprising the number of people and children watched, and parents then were home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mothers are not today, and haven't been for a long time, because economically they haven't been able to. So that's a sadness, and then I think in most of the nursery schools, I don't know if. Have you seen the new show at all?
I have. Yeah, I've actually, my kids were really excited about it as the premiere was coming up, and they enjoy it.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I guess that we need 2 to 4 year olds that, you know, would be watching it.
Mm-hmm.
We're all too old to go, you know. I wondered how that was going to be accepted.
Yeah, you know, if my kids are any indication now, you know, they fall right in that target range of the age that it's directed towards. If my kids are any indication, it's a hit, because, I mean, they love it. They absolutely love it.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. Oh, I'll tell Joanne.
I truly appreciate you taking the time to talk.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Jim.
Well, it's been wonderful hearing your side of a lot of neighborhood stories, and again, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today.